pull it up a little bit for you.
The first reading is from the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, starting with the 19th verse. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And then the second reading is from 2 Kings. This is the account of how Naaman, the general, is healed of leprosy. Hold it up a little bit. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor. Because of him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who was in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which reads, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy. And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and he said, "Am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he's seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down, dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. And he came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So accept now a present from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Then Naaman said, if not, please let there be given to your servant 2 mule loads of earth, for from now on your servant will not offer burnt offering or sacrifice to any god but the Lord. In this manner, may the Lord pardon your servant when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, leaning on my arm, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon when I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. The Lord pardon your servant in this matter. And Elisha said to him, go in peace.
Thinking it might be easier for me to use this this stand, and the question is if you'll be able to hear me. Can you all hear me right now? Can you hear me?
The recorder won't hear you.
Oh, the recorder won't. Okay, so we bow to the recorder. Okay.
All right. We could put this on a stand, Bill, if you want to.
Just lifted this up.
This can work here too, Pastor.
Yeah.
Nice when you can get good help.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. There are some people who are more prepared who would have this all in place in advance, but we'll make this work, huh? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great thing it is that we're able to gather here tonight in the name of your Son, Jesus, to worship, to sing your praises, to enjoy a meal together, and to enjoy our company with one another here in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And now we call upon the Spirit to speak through the words of your servant. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Naaman, who this is about, was a great man, a general who had won huge victories for Aram, his country, and everybody knew him. He was like a god. When he would come around, picture it, grown men would start to get nervous, and young women would swoon. I mean, he was huge. In his prime, that was the case. But he had a terrible flaw. He had leprosy. Picture it, this splotchy, white, awful stuff that marred his skin. And given that, how would he be able to do his job? How would he be able to lead men, even be in public? I mean, he was a man that this disease had devastated. Well, there was a little slave girl who had been captured from the Israelites. She was from Israel. She knew the Lord. And she had been captured and made to go to work for Naaman's wife. One day she says to Naaman's wife, you know, if the general could go back and see a prophet in Israel named Elijah, he could be cured of his leprosy. And so they get the word to the king, and the king says, go for it. I'll make the arrangements. He writes a letter. He sends it to the king of Israel. But then it backfires because the king of Israel gets the letter and he says, what does this guy think I am, God, that I'm supposed to be able to cure a man of leprosy? Can I, you know, make alive and kill? This guy is just trying to pick a fight and have a war with me. Well, Elijah hears about this. He says to him, calm down, send him to me. He will know that there is a prophet in Israel. Is there ever? So Maybe you wonder, well, let's just back up just a little bit. Maybe you wonder, well, how did this little girl know about the prophet Elijah? Well, think about it. Elijah was somebody who really did raise people from the dead. He healed all kinds of diseases. He made a water supply that was bad turn good. He did miracles that were unbelievable. Everybody knew about Elijah. So the general goes, and he goes to Elisha. And he expects, when he gets there with all of his, he's got his full entourage, he's got his horses, he's got chariots, he's got all the money and all the stuff. He comes up to Elijah's little hut, and he expects that the prophet is going to come out and lay hands on him and pray to his God, and he'll be healed. No, Elisha doesn't come out. He sends his assistant to go out and tell the general, go dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times, and you will be healed. The general is outraged. What? He says. We've got rivers back home that are 10 times better than this muddy Jordan thing. Why can't I go there and wash? And so he takes off in a huff. He's a proud man. He doesn't easily get down off his high horse and humble himself before the Lord's command. He's not ready yet to get baptized. But God has a way of using the people around us to bring us to our senses, to get us on our knees, to get us in the water, to remind us of our baptism. People who know us and love us, who by God's power lead us to the Lord. Well, Naaman takes off, but he doesn't get very far. And the assistant, his servant, Elisha's servant, goes after him and tries to talk. He says to the general, look, and he's got a lie on his lips. He says, look, Elisha needs some money and he needs some sets of clothes. Could you provide it? He's trying to get some money out of the general. And so the general says, yeah, okay, sure, here's the stuff. So Gehazi, that's the name of the servant, goes back to Elisha, and Elisha knows all about it, of course. And he says, what did you think you were doing? And Gehazi tries to get out of it, but Elijah knows what it is, and he says, because you have done this thing, you are going to be punished. And he causes him to have leprosy. And he says, this leprosy will stay with you and your descendants. Sin has consequences. Well, Naaman finally is talked to by his servants. They say to him, look, if he'd given you a really spectacular thing to do, you would have done it. Why not go down to the river, dip in it 7 times, do what he says? What can you lose? And so he does. And immediately his skin is made perfect like a little child's. He's absolutely healed. But more importantly than that, this man, this great general, is given a new heart. His old arrogance has passed away. Everything has become new. And now he is a witness of the Lord, and he comes and he declares to Elisha, he says, now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. This is just the beginning. This man, Naaman, will learn and tell more, same as God's people do, same as we do. Baptism is the gift beyond all giving. It's the way we come into the church. It's the way of salvation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. It gives us the deliverance of sin, death, and the devil, the promise of a life forever with the Lord and all the saints. It's a gift that Martin Luther reminds us that we are to renew every day, drowning the old man and the arrogance of our sin and our self-centeredness, dying again with Christ so that we may rise like Naaman to new life. And so that on that day, that last day, we be resurrected with him forever. Well, when Naaman sees that he's been healed, he can't wait to go to Elisha and thank him. He wants to give him a gift. He says, let me give you a present for this. He's got a fortune with him, gold, silver, and did I mention those 10 sets of clothes, the finest fashion from Aramea? But what he doesn't realize is that true prophets are not in it for the money. Anyway, Elijah says, no gift. So Naaman, before he leaves, he asks, and he is granted 2 pack loads of dirt. What's the point of that? He explains that he wants to go home and he wants to worship the Lord God in the very ground of the one God, the true God of Israel. So first he came needing water, now he gets dirt. But there's a serious ending to this account. It's a warning, and the biblical writer does not shield us from it. What happens is that when Gehazi did this, and when he was punished for it, he realizes that sin has consequences. And in this season of Lent, when we are reminded, when we remember to confess of our own sin, when we realize the consequences that come to us for our sin, the Lord brings us to repentance, turns us again to the one who kills and then makes alive and raises to new life, cleansed and forgiven. And then he sends us out to tell others where to find the healer, where to find God's people, where to hear the word and be fed at his table, inviting them to come to the waters. And always we point them to the prophet, to the one who is our high priest, our Savior, and our King, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.